let us say good morning to, or is it good afternoon, to Arash Madani. Arash, where are you and what time is it?
It is 5:46 local time in Osijek, Croatia.
Now, where is that?
We played this weekend.
Where in Croatia are you? I've been there. Dubrovnik's gorgeous, sort of the touristy spot. Game of Thrones, of course, has made it famous. And then you have Split, which is on the coast and everyone loves Zagreb, the biggest city, the capital. But where is the city you're at?
We are 3 hours outside of Zagreb. It's on the eastern edge of Croatia. So it's a town. It's the fourth largest city in the country. It's about 100,000 people, and they've transformed a 5,000-seat basketball arena into a temporary indoor red clay tennis venue for a 3-day international competition that starts tomorrow.
Awesome. I do want to talk tennis with you amongst some other topics, so we'll get right into it. Denis Shapovalov, a lot of eyes will be on him. Vasek Pospisil with him as well. And who makes the rest of the Davis Cup team? Because we know Milos is dinged up.
Yeah, Raonic just wasn't ready for the Australian Open. And if you watched him there, he was, it was obvious. He just didn't have it. He tore up his calf back in the Asian swing back in the late fall, and he just wasn't ready for the season. So he's not here. Denis Shapovalov is the guy. He was the number one seed when they played in Edmonton back in September, and he's ready to go. Now, the interesting part from the Croatian side, their number one player is Marin Cilic, the world number three, who just got to the Australian Open Finals. Martin ran into Roger Federer there, as you know what happens. But Cilic, dealing with jet lag and the body not being right, he is not going to play singles tomorrow. So Shapovalov is up against a kid, Viktor Galovich, who has never played a live Davis Cup match before. He's 0-2 against lefties, so advantage Denis. Now, on the flip side, Canada's going to be without Vasek Pospisil tomorrow, a guy who hasn't won on clay since 2013. He's been dealing with a virus this week. And so Peter Polanski's going to go in his spot up against Borna Coric, who's a top 50 player in the world. So there's some intrigue and there's some lineup shuffling and kind of all of that going on the eve of this thing getting started.
What's at stake here, and what does the next round look like in Davis Cup play?
So the way Davis Cup basically works is every year it starts with the top 16 countries in the world, and Canada is among them. And it's a single elimination tournament, like the NCAA tournament in basketball, and Canada gets Croatia. Now, if they win, they advance to the quarterfinals. They haven't been there since 2015. They have not won a showdown on the road in Davis Cup since 2011. So that's where things kind of are, and a lot of this is going to be on Denis. What's interesting is the way Davis Cup format goes is they play two matches, singles matches Friday, one doubles match Saturday, and then two singles matches Sunday. The first country that gets to three wins advances. But then out came Daniel Nestor, 45 years old and his 24th Davis Cup. And Nestor basically told the guys, look, I'm struggling. I'm 60 in the world right now in doubles. And he said, I told Vasek and Denis, it's fine with me if you guys want to play on Saturday without me, because I'm not going to be upset. You guys may have a better chance than me. So he's choosing country over himself. And that's kind of the backdrop in which this is all starting.
Cool. Can't wait for it. That is, we're excited you're there. There's a local tie-in, some Tennis Canada news, as they've teamed up with National Bank. Here in Calgary in the fall, there will be the National Bank Challenger Tournament. We don't host much in the way of tennis out here. I don't know if this hits your radar or not, but clearly this is part of the growth of the sport in our country, is having some of those professional tournaments at lower levels so that guys can get up into the higher ranks, like we've seen a bunch of Canadians suddenly do in the last 10 years.
Well, don't be too fooled by this lower tier event. I mean, the Challenger Tour, you're still getting high quality tennis and high quality players coming there. It shows the growth of the sport in the country, no question. Look, I mean, Denis was playing Challenger events last year just before Rogers Cup. Vasek Pospisil just won a Challenger Tour title over the weekend overseas. You're going to get guys who have been dealing with injuries or have struggled and their ranking has come down. You have young players, young stars on their way up that you're going to get an opportunity to see. It's going to be a terrific opportunity for Canadians, you know, young Canadian guys who are trying to get some more tournaments under their belt to do that. I think it's fantastic. Vancouver has an event very similar at the Challenger level in the late summer. Now, Calgary is getting one. Drummondville and Gatineau and I believe Rimouski or Granby has one, and they each have Challenger events in Quebec in as well. So this is a great opportunity to see some real high-quality tennis.
I'm glad we had you on, because you can speak to that with obviously much greater precision than I can, and we're all very excited about it. October 13th to 21st at the Austin and Victor Alberta Tennis Center. Thank you for that. Let's move along. I love having you on because we can talk about so many things. Johnny Manziel's agent's self-imposed deadline has passed. Nothing has happened. Has anything changed in terms of what our expectations are for the Ticats and Johnny Manziel as they negotiate?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, what the Ticats have done in the last day or two is they've floated out there. They're leaking to, you know, national rights holders and the rest. But Manziel's looking for $500,000 or $600,000, and Johnny, and then the Ticats are willing to pay him $150,000. And then publicly, the Ticats come out and say, we have no comment on this and nothing has changed. So, what, you know, publicly, the Ticats are trying to win this battle, and nobody has contacts with the Manziel camp to get any kind of reaction. And the Manziel camp has stayed quiet. We reached out to their agency. They said, we're standing by our statement. Here's the thing. Johnny's in no rush. Johnny's in no rush to do anything. And maybe something else comes up for him outside of football that he'd like to do, or maybe he's just going to see how this thing plays out. He doesn't have to make a decision. The Ticats don't have to make a decision. So there was a lot of talk going on. The training camp opens in May, and it's February 1st. So miles to go before we sleep.
So why the self-imposed deadline then? Is that just an attempt to get some sort of leverage? I mean, it sort of looks silly on the agent now, doesn't it?
No. What difference does it make if it's January 31st or March 31st or May 31st? You know, I think at some point along the way, the Manziel camp may have thought that the XFL option was going to be sooner than 2020, maybe. And also, they may have something else cooking. Who knows? But you know, it's just all part of a posturing in the negotiation process. That's all it is.
All right, final one for you. When do we get some Jays updates from you? Are you heading down to Dunedin anytime soon? And what have you made of the offseason? We know you're tight on time, but we'll give you 60 seconds on the Jays if it's all right.
Yeah, I'll be there for the last 2 weeks of spring training. I have the Olympics coming up after this. And I thought the Blue Jays were going to do more. I think they really wanted in on the Christian Yelich sweepstakes before he went to Miami. But I think what we learned there is that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going nowhere. They think he can be as special as his dad. So, I don't know what to make of the Jays right now for the 2018 season. But they, you know, Ross Atkins said, judge us by what our roster looks like at the end of March. So he's got 2 months to make some moves. He's got a little bit of payroll room to make that happen. So I'm intrigued to see where they may go and what they may add.
Enjoy Croatia. Enjoy South Korea. We can't wait to talk some ball with you when all that's done. An incredible occupation you have, sir, and you're great at it. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, Ryan.
There he is, Rash Madani from Croatia.